Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and this is the third episode in our series on the 8 Front Door initiative that we did this summer. If you haven't listened to the first and second episodes, I would strongly encourage you to go back. Spoiler alert, we're about to unpack the final phrase from episode 2, which was that we weren't getting a good response. And it reminded our friend Dylan of sad childhood birthdays. And I say that because here with me on the front porch is Dylan.
Hi. It was a sad birthday.
And Dylan's had several great quotes throughout the summer that are getting into this podcast. So, so thanks for joining us. And then also Catherine is back, and welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
So I'm calling this episode The Long Haul. And just a little backstory here. So we launched in, we had good response. We then, as we unpacked in episode 2, started to run into some barriers and some obstacles. And including like that we had invited people to come be part of this gathering, and folks said they would come but then did not come, and it was a little bit hard. And in this so two things happened. One is we started to like really keep adjusting over and over again, like, okay, what do we do now? The second thing that happened that I need to name is I stopped interviewing people because there was nothing to interview about. It was like everything kind of slowed way down, and we were trying things and things weren't working, and it was busy and hectic. And so the three of us are going to process then some, we're going to, as best we can, remember some of the obstacles that we ran into and some of the ways that we, what we would say, pivoted in those moments. One of our mottos is that we are free to fail. And I think that's a good word as we get started, because, you know, we knew we were doing something really experimental. We didn't know how things were going to work. We knew we were going to have to modify and make changes. And so as best we could, we wanted to, you know, not allow obstacles or failure to define us. But whew, it was a long summer. It was hard to stay with that. So first of all, like, let's kind of launch from that big gathering that we hosted that no one came to. Mm-hmm. So take me back there for you guys. What was that like?
So from what I recall, we invited a lot more people than we thought we should.
Yes.
We had the youth plan for the event itself, plan out everything that they were going to do, down to like blocking out events that they were going to go through, and nobody showed up.
Yes.
And also, I feel like that was disappointing because it wasn't like we were like, we didn't invent the gathering just because we thought it would be good. Like, we thought we were responding to what people in the neighborhood were asking for. Like, it seemed like some people really wanted to get together and wanted to have an event and wanted to like do games with the youth and get to know. Some of them specifically talked about, I want to know people on other blocks. Like, I know people on my block, I'd like to get to know others. And so then when they didn't come, and we were thinking, like, this is kind of your idea. Like, then what? Right.
Yeah.
Especially from the people who were very supportive of the idea of, like, oh, yes, this is great. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll bring my neighbor, too. And then we look them in the eye the next week.
And like, people who seem to have a strong connection with some of the youth. Like,
yeah.
I thought, wow, like you would disappoint a youth and not go. Okay. Also, it was a rainy day. So like mm-hmm. it was, if someone was, you know, walking to the office, that wasn't going to be great. Yeah. That was the first thing that was rough. Like, okay, we know that probably eliminates some of our guests.
Yes.
It's not good for walking.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And so I want to throw into the mix then, not only was there poor turnout, but by this point we're in June, it's getting hotter and hotter. And I mean, we hear that in the interviews, like, I mean, it's miserable. And I remember people going out and just coming back and just like being drenched with sweat. It was like muggy. It was rough. So it's super hot. And we also, by this point in the summer, we are starting to hear occasionally from folks who are like, are you guys going to bother me every week? Like, it was this kind of, there was some annoyance. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Like, you again? Yeah. Well, yeah, we said we were going to check in every week. So that didn't seem like everyone wanted check in every week.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to say I personally didn't ever experience that. I think people were very excited to see me personally. So
were they just saying that to your listening partner?
No, I was the one doing most of the talking, really.
Yes.
I like to think it's because I have such a trusting presence and good conversational skills, supposedly.
I mean, actually, that is true, Dylan. That is all true. So I don't want to make too light of that.
And good listening skills, mm-hmm, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think to kind of circle back, again, we're knocking on, I mean, there's 400 homes in mm-hmm. in this area that we're reaching out to. And you only need, you know, one or two people to say, like, stop bothering me, to feel like no one wants to see me again. Like, that's really hard to endure. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, there were people who were really glad to see our teams every week and were positive. But it's just that there were some folks who kind of were pushing back.
I mean, also, the whole thing is called the 8 Front Doors Initiative. And at this point in time, like, I remember only one person ever referenced their block map magnet to me on a follow-up interview. And so I think it was the second or third week. And we were thinking, like, yes, every week we're going to knock. We're going to ask people, how many new neighbors did you meet? It's going to be really fun. And that never happened. And so the only mention was when we knocked on this man's door and he came out on his porch and he kind of surveyed the houses that were close by. And then he said, well, sorry, guys. Like, I didn't really meet anyone new this week. So, and like, I think he kind of expected us just to walk away. Like, okay. And so I said, well, like, that's okay. I mean, you know, we're going to visit you the whole summer. Like, you didn't have to meet everyone in the first week. But also, that was the only time anyone ever even tried to give me feedback.
So the one piece of feedback you got was linked with some guilt and shame. Like,
yeah.
We don't even want to, like, that's not even what we would want for people.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, okay, it's the 8 Front Doors Initiative. It's all about getting to know your 8 closest neighbors. And, I mean, some people may have been doing that, but they weren't. No one was sharing stories with us, like, mm-hmm. or proudly displaying their magnet. Like, we had prizes for when you fill out your magnet, and no one was asking for prizes, so.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that brings us to our first pivot, that kind of sets the stage for a couple of pivots. So one is, which I had forgotten this, but even on the day of the party, when nobody came, we also had the students start writing thank you notes to everyone who had taken the time to complete one of the WSU surveys, the Wichita State University surveys. And so even there, in the midst of, like, well, this didn't go as planned, let's do this.
I mean, we were all in the office ready for a party. We had good snacks. It was raining, so no one could go out walking.
Mm.
But, and we thought, like, we want to send a positive message to people. And, like, we are grateful that you took that survey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 100 people took that survey. And so it's like, okay, A, we won't go bother them and knock on their door if some of them don't want to see us. But, and so we'll just mail them. But also it's like something positive. And that was around 4th of July time, like, because we were making them on June 29th. So then it's like, okay, around the holiday, they'll get a nice thankful, you know, a thank you card from us and mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. handmade by a youth.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So that's one pivot. And then the other pivot that I remember was we kind of assessed, because we had met people in the neighborhood who were like, yeah, this is cool. I think connections are good. Like, yeah, I know some of my neighbors. And we started to think like, well, okay, maybe rather than inviting people to come to our office, let's see if any of them want to be either like a block connector on their block or even to host some sort of get together. And so like, I remember we like kind of listed like, okay, who are the people that we've talked to? And we made a list. And started going out and asking folks if they would want be interested in that. I don't. Yeah. How did that go?
It went all right. Mostly people seemed even more hesitant about it because now it's not something that they're being invited to, but something that we're suggesting that they could be doing.
Mm.
So now it kind of puts it on them.
Yeah.
But there were a couple people who were kind of interested in it, but they just weren't really giving any like commitment of, yes, I'm going to do it this day at this time. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit of, yeah, I like that. It wasn't like a hard shutdown. I mean, there were a few folks I think who were like, no, I don't want to do that. But it was just this kind of, there was an ambiguity
mm-hmm.
around some of that feedback. Yeah. Do you have any recollections? Yeah.
I mean, also there were people, it was still hot. That's still a factor. And yeah. So some people were saying, yeah, like that's a great idea. I'm going to do that in the fall. Like let's wait till it cools off a bit and I can get out my grill. Mm-hmm. And so we thought like with our list of possible people that then we, you know, then people would tell us the date and we'd know when all of these block parties were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that any happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but yeah.
And then it was terrible timing because the Delta variant was arising. And so we had to mask up again, walk out in the heat in masks together. And then it just didn't seem like a good idea to encourage gatherings during that time.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. I mean, just hearing you say that, it just takes me back to, I mean, I can just feel the weariness in my body, you know, of that, like just the, like, oh my gosh, like the Delta surge and what do we do? And like, we don't want to encourage people to do something that's not safe. And so what do we encourage people to do? And like, yeah, it just felt like it was okay, now what? Like, now what? I mean, a couple other things that I remember kind of simultaneously to all of that. Cervantes had named that he had an idea to host or organize what he was calling a neighborhood mixer because it was bigger than a block party. It was like inviting 6 to 8 blocks.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
And this was before the Delta variant, just for the record.
That's right. We weren't being negligent. That's right. So he had that idea, and the goal that he named was let's build some trust. Like, let's help folks meet each other and build trust. I mean, that really stood out to me, and I was like, it really inspired me. Like, I thought it was a really cool idea. I know you guys worked hard, Dylan, you and Cervantes, like going out, asking neighbors if there was something they'd like to contribute so that it would really be like neighborhood led. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did that go, like, overall?
Well, so we went around the neighborhood. We got several people who were interested and actually committed to saying, like, yes, I'm going to bring napkins and plasticware. Other people were going to bring chips. Someone mentioned bringing, like, 12 pounds of chicken wings.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had a list of all the things that we were planning to have, and we'd ask people in the neighborhood what they would be willing to contribute. So we had some commitments to that. And then when it came time for people to show up, nobody did. People showed up to the mixer, but nobody who gave commitment and said, yes, I'm going to be bringing this, nobody actually followed through on that either.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I couldn't even be there. I was out of town. So I missed it, which was disappointing to me. And so some folks came, but it was considering the number of households that got invited, even it was pretty small, although also because there weren't as many supplies as anticipated, probably wasn't terrible that it wasn't everyone showing up.
Yeah.
Or yeah. At least it felt that way. Yeah.
We were very light at the end.
Yeah. I don't know if this is sequential or not. In my mind, then, we, about this same time, we made another pivot, and instead of inviting people, or instead of giving people cards that said, like, you know, here's one way to meet your neighbor and here's why it matters, we also tried another experiment, which was what we called culture cards, because they were things that asked people to reflect on, where do you see this on your block? Where is it, where it's already happening? And these were things like, I don't remember the list. Do you remember, yeah, Catherine?
So it was like kindness, generosity, cooperation, hospitality, acceptance of fallibility. Like, where do people accept neighborly failures and things like that? So, which was great because, I mean, as opposed to someone saying like, nope, sorry, didn't meet any neighbors. Okay, bye. Like saying, so how's it going? Like, who's the most kind person on your block? Where have you seen somebody being kind? I mean, the first week that we went and asked that, people that we spoke to could always name somebody that was kind or generous. And it was interesting. Sometimes it was themselves, which was like, they didn't mean to be bragging or anything, but then it would get them talking about a connection they had with a neighbor because actually they were being kind. And so that was inspiring and energizing. Like, okay, there is good stuff and people are telling us these stories. And so that felt better. And it was bringing to light things that we wouldn't necessarily know about.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that seemed like was an exciting experiment. And then I think, though, what's kind of coming, what is occurring to me as I'm listening, is we're kind of moving from like larger things to more granular things. Like there was the event at the office, and not that that was going to be like 1,000 people, but it was more of a like lots of folks kind of thing. And the neighborhood mixer, which was kind of a lots of folks kind of thing, and moving to this more granular level of having conversations about what are you already seeing, where is this already present, and just really getting to know folks better out in the neighborhood. So that's an interesting theme that's coming up for me. So then we're starting to wrap up. And I mean, I guess the picture in my mind, like we just kept taking like one step at a time, kind of slogging through. I mean, it's just like, okay. And we also knew we had to go back out and do the second round of surveys from Wichita State University to see if all of this work was having any impact on the neighborhood, if folks felt a greater sense of belonging, if they felt safer, if they felt more connected. I remember feeling like that was a really daunting task. I mean, we got 100 surveys the first round, which was incredible, kind of mind-boggling. And then it's like, okay, now we have to go back and reach out to these 100 people. And so, again, just the task. Like, you just had to do it. But you guys did it, by the way. I mean, and we ended up getting 48 out of those 100
right
to do the second survey. And people have told us, like, those are incredible numbers. I don't know anything about research, so I don't know, but we've gotten encouraging feedback on that. But then there was one more experiment that we included with the survey. And
right, because we didn't want it, like, that seemed like an abrupt end. And so then what comes next? And so then we thought, well, we'll ask those people, like, even to finish the moment of the survey on a positive note, like, in that very minute when they finish the survey, then to say, oh, yeah, and hey, we were wondering, would you like to nominate a neighbor to receive a good neighbor gift? Like, is there someone, you know, near you that you think is just a great neighbor, and we'll give them a gift? And so, and it was interesting, some of those people that were nominated were people that we hadn't even had a conversation with, yes, you know, throughout the whole summer in some cases, which was great. And so, and again, it was just another chance for somebody to say, yeah, I really respect this neighbor because of these things, or they're really kind. So pulling out those good threads again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes Diamon Harges, who is an organizer, has done work in South Bend, Indiana, and Indianapolis, Indiana. He talks about making the invisible visible. But the phrase that's coming to my mind, thinking about both the culture cards and also the neighbor nominations, is it's actually celebrating the invisible. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, we're going to put you on a podium, but it is just taking time to note and celebrate, like, here's a good thing. Like, here's something we want to lift up and celebrate. So that brings us to the end of the summer. And I think the question, there's like these glimmers of good, but there's also like a lot of, I think in my mind, as we came to the end of the summer, there was a lot of ambiguity. It was like, I mean, I think even at some point I was thinking like, we just have to survive. Like, we just got to get to the end of this and see what happens next. So I want to leave that. Brené Brown says that we should remain awkward, brave, and kind. I'm putting the emphasis on awkward this time. We're going to end this episode with the awkward question of ambiguity here of like, does this matter? Is it working? And in episode 4, we're going to answer that question. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the front porch and for being a part of this conversation. Thank you, Catherine and Dylan, for being here. And thank you, listener, for being a part of it. And also want to give a shout out to Christopher, who is like literally, I don't even know if he's sleeping anymore because he has to edit these incredibly big podcasts and get them posted. So thank you, Christopher, for your work. And to learn more about our work, you can check out our website, neighboringmovement.org. And stay tuned. I hope you'll join us for the 4th and final episode in this series from the 8 Front Door Initiative. Until next time, happy neighboring. You want to say it?
Oh, happy neighboring. I didn't realize we were doing a thing.
I didn't either. Catherine really jumped right on there. It's good.